Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Limitless life. Because you're more than your past when God holds your future. We all have things that cause us to fear. As human beings, we're all namers. As a matter of fact, we're namers by nature. The book of Genesis said that Adam named everything, even people. The trouble is that there are a lot of labels floating around that really dictate to you and me who we are. Many of us are stuck believing the negative messages that come from those kind of labels. Oh, you're fat, you're skinny, you're smart, you're dumb, you're this or you're that. And what happens is when someone labels you, it gets stuck into your heart, it gets stitched into your heart. And labels can be very difficult to shed. Like a tattoo on your soul, which determines how you see yourself, and how you see yourself determines how you are going to live. And so when people label you, I'll never forget when I was a kid, there was this guy who picked on me and he labeled me as being fat. And I swear, as a child, a young child, I thought I was heavy. I look back and I look at those pictures and I realize I have to laugh as an adult. I was anything but fat. I was skinny. Labels can label you. You know, when a teacher tells you you're dumb and you're never going to make it, or when you are called, oh, that's the man that's been divorced, or oh, that's the woman who left her husband. You know, labels in our past can absolutely destroy us if we're not careful, because a false label leads to living a lie. When you begin to believe the things your enemies say about you, then you will begin to live a lie. And a life that's built on a lie places a person in a spiritual prison. And what God wants to do in your life this morning is he wants to make you free. Someone say amen. See, a destructive label leads to living a destructive life. And labels are soul thieves. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 with me. You've heard it before. You come to me with a sword, David said, as he's beginning to fight Goliath, and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel. Anytime you see those words, Lord of hosts, are the armies of Israel, you need to stand up and make sure you're on the right side of that battle, because that is when God says, I'm about to go to war. Whom you have defiled, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth will know that the Lord saves, not with a sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into my hands. My question to you this morning is, what battle are you facing that looks like a mountain in your life? What battle do you have right now that's keeping you from the greatness that God has ordained for you to experience? God never called one person in this church this morning to be a failure. He didn't call you to be a failure in any way, shape, or form. Now, I want you to imagine with me this morning this battlefield that's going on. As a matter of fact, here's a picture of it. And we know exactly where this battlefield is at, because the Bible is so precise, geologically speaking, or geography. Let me go over here so I can see it. The Bible is so specific with geography that there's only one place in all of Israel where this battle could have taken place. And it's right there, because there's only one brook in this land that we're talking about, in this part of the country. So the brook runs right there where that road moves. Israel was on that side and the Philistines was on the other. And right there is where little David walked out to fight the giant. And how do we know that? Because the Bible specifically gives us great geographical details about it. But here's the point. There was something separating victory in Israel's life a lot bigger than that valley. It was a guy named Goliath. He was a seasoned, undefeated champion. His name, when you speak it, evokes insecurities and insurmountable odds. The word fear is tattooed on the hearts of Israel. And if I've ever seen Christians struggle with anything today, it is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear that says, I won't find another job. The spirit of fear that says, my children are going to hate me. The spirit of fear that says, I'll never raise a Christian family. A spirit of fear that says, I'll never get this weight off. A spirit of fear that says, you're not enough. A spirit of fear that says, we don't like you. A spirit of fear that says, America's not going to make it. A spirit of fear that says, you're not good enough. I'm here to tell you the labels the devil places in your mind is a lie. An absolute lie. God made you more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. Somebody say amen. And so you have to understand that fear is so ingrained in Israel that they found themselves in this place deeply paralyzed and robbed of their ability to seize their destiny because they were afraid to move. You see, in ancient days, what would happen is that you see the movies like Troy and the different movies where you have ancient war going on and you see the armies coming together and there's this massive bloodshed. Ladies and gentlemen, that happened, but it didn't happen all the time. What you have to understand that is when they fought 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago like this, what would happen is one army would choose their best warrior and another army would choose their best warrior. And if those guys would come out and fight and whichever one won the war, then what happened is that the other side became the other side's slave. And so that's exactly what's happening here. No one from Israel would come out and fight the enemy that was keeping them from their destiny. No one in Israel had the courage to stand up to the devil that was telling them they weren't enough. They're not good enough. They can't do it. The life's not going to give you what you thought it should give you. They were full of fear. And they were cowards, and they were cowering over here on the side of this hill, and they were hiding. And then the Goliath comes back out and says, who's going to fight me? Because I'm going to make you my slaves. And the devil, in kind of a proverbial way, is telling all of that, all of us this morning, is that you are not enough. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it in life. You're never going to fulfill your dreams. You're never going to see God do what you wanted him to do. You're never going to be healed. You're never going to have more than enough money. You're never going to be able to manage success. The devil lies to you. You want to know why? Because he uses the spirit of fear to intimidate you. He uses fear to try to destroy you and limit your potential in God. And so what happened, it was that Goliath came out, and there was a problem because no one in Israel would come out. Not one single person was willing to stand up to the giant in their life. They had accepted the label of fear. They had accepted the label they're not good enough. They had accepted the label that they're not strong enough. They accepted the label that God didn't hear them when they prayed. I want to tell you one of the things, and I know I'm plowing this morning, but one of the things that God has laid on my heart this fall to tell this church and to teach this church and to bring you to a place of belief, and that is this: you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The devil will tell you you can't go back to college. He's a liar. The devil will tell you you're never going to find somebody that loves you. He's a liar. The devil's going to tell you you'll never build a successful business in this coal mining town. He's a liar. The devil will tell you all kinds of things, and here's how he does it. He takes his magic marker and he puts these labels on you that paralyzes you and keeps you over there in the valley of Elah ineffective. But the devil's a liar. Somebody say amen. And what God wants to do is to teach Western Kentucky and Covenant Community Church to dream again. You see, they had accepted the label of fear. They had accepted defeat to the point that living as a slave became an acceptable alternative to taking up arms and fighting the things that were fighting them. If there's one thing I've learned about the spiritual life, is what you permit, it will always persist. And if you'll permit the devil to speak to you, like when I studied for this message yesterday, I got up and I went and I just took an hour and I went down to the festival in Sebree where they celebrated 150 years. And I'm telling you, as soon as I got up and I knew I'd heard from God and that I had the right message and I knew it was God, it was one of those Saturdays when I knew exactly what I needed to say. Do you realize that the devil beat me up for 3 hours? You want to know why? Because he doesn't want the word of God coming to you that says you don't have to put up with depression. You don't have to put up with lack. You don't have to put up with bad health. You don't have to put up with that self-esteem. You don't have to put up living in fear. Fear that you're not ever going to get ahead. Fear that you're going to be left alone. Fear that you're going to die too early. Fear that your mom's not going to be healed. Fear, fear, fear. And fear is a lie. When you know your God. And that's why they're hiding over here in this mountain, because they did not know their God. They were afraid. And you know what fear does? It makes you cow tip. It makes you bow down. It makes you come to a place in your life where you stop fighting and you just say, I'd rather be a prisoner at peace than a victorious warrior at war. But David was a little different. This little boy, the God of Israel, was getting ready to rewrite history, and David heard Goliath challenge the armies of the living God, and it pierced his heart. See, David was a different person because he was limited by size, and he was limited by age, and he was limited by resources, and he was limited by experience, and he was limited by strengths. You see, when God gets ready to do something great in your life, he will make sure you understand your limitations, because if you try to do it on your own, you're not going to be able to do it. But if you'll trust God, he'll help you do it. Anybody knows what I'm saying? Say amen. He'll help you. But you're limited by size. God gave me one of the biggest visions I've ever had in my life about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I have never been more limited in my life to accomplish what God has asked me to do than I am right now. But you know what? David was limited by size. He was limited by age. He was limited by resources and limited by strength and limited by experience. But you know what? He accepted the challenge. And when you are labeled by fear, you're inviting a thief into your house. The fear that you can't do what God has promised you. The fear that God can't do what he said he was going to do in your life. The fear that God may not answer you. When you ask fear, when you get yourself labeled by fear, then you're inviting a thief into your house. And you know what that thief is going to do? First thing he's going to do is paralyze you. He's going to make sure you don't move. He's going to make sure you stay on the opposite side of that mountain, and don't you dare try to go and confront that which has been tormenting you. He's going to imprison you and make sure you can't move. He's going to lock you into a cell called mediocrity, and he's going to help you live a life with no joy, because that's a limited life. Let me tell you something. God did not call his children in the last days to walk around in fear because of the culture. God did not call his children in the last days to walk around in lack because the rest of the world can't balance a checkbook. God did not call his children in the last days to lay down and to die. No, God has called his children to be more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. There is absolutely nothing you can't do. If God is for you, who can be against you? There is absolutely nothing you can't dream. There's no college you can't get into. There's no test you can't pass. If God be for you, who can be against you? God wants you to live a limitless life. So what do you fear? A lot of people fear rejection. There was this little boy who wanted to ask this girl out at youth camp. And so he had a lot of self-esteem before he went and asked her out. Then he worked up enough nerve to go up to this girl and ask her out. He was a good-looking boy. He just didn't realize it. Had confidence at that point in his life. And he asked this little girl out, and she looked at him and went, "No way." And it crushed that little boy all of his life, and he lived his life with that label. That you never, ever, ever go to the opposite sex because they will reject you. We've all been rejected. If you've lived any kind of period of time, you've been rejected by your talent. You've been rejected by in school. You've been rejected at a job. You've been rejected by people. We've all been rejected. But the Bible says to tell yourself, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says to remind yourself in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you and not harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future. Let me tell you something. If you've ever been rejected, listen up to me. The very fact you've been attacked is proof that your enemy is anticipating your success. The very fact you are going through an attack is proof the enemy knows you are going to be successful. I want to ask you something. Are you like the little boy? Do you fear relationships now? Do you fear rejection? Number two, have you ever feared not being good enough, being labeled not good enough? You're not good enough to go to college. You're not good enough to have that kind of job. You're not good enough to have good things happen to you. One of the things that absolutely amazes me about Christians today is that they have lost hope. One of the things that amazes me about the body of Christ is they've lost the sense of victory. One of the things that amazes me about the Christians around the world is many of them have lost the ability to dream. They've lost the ability to believe that God can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. They've lost the ability. They've just settled down and said, if we can just get by, if we can just pay our bills, if we can just stay married, if we can just. God has not caused his body to have the spirit of if we can just. He's called us to conquer. He's called us to climb mountains. What's the mountain in front of you that you're afraid of? What is the thing in your life that's kept you from doing everything that God has called you to be? Is the devil telling you that you're never going to make it through your mother's illness? Is the devil telling you that you are never liked and that your own dad didn't like you? What's the devil telling you today? Listen, if the devil's speaking to you, he's lying. The devil's a liar. If you know it, say amen. And so I want to encourage this church for the next 4 weeks to dream. And not just dream about our church, but dream about your own life. Dream about how you can make it better than you've ever had it before. What's the story about not being good enough? Are you still afraid of not being good enough? Did you get rejected when you were a kid because you weren't picked for the baseball team? Were you not good enough to get into college that you wanted to get into? Were you not good enough? Did you not break the other guy's record in running in high school? I mean, what area of your life are you not good enough? Are you not as pretty as the woman your husband left you for? I mean, what is it you're not good enough? I want to tell you, when it comes to God, you're never rejected. When it comes to God, you're always good enough. When it comes to God, you are acceptable just as you are. And we walk around with these labels in our life where we're rejected and we feel that somehow we're not good enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people fear the unknown. Israel was scared in this valley, cowering in their tents, demeaned. But out of all of that, this little David, this little 16-year-old boy, walks out unto the unknown, and all he had was trust. That's all he had, was trust and a little bit of spitfire. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Spitfire. Let me tell you, there's something about spitfire I've noticed. You can be 3 or you can be 93, and if spitfire is in you, you're going to be all right. I don't worry about the people who have spitfire, people who won't let people run over them. Some of you would never let a human being run over you, but you let the devil run over you all the time in your mind. It says your marriage ain't going to work. You can't ever forgive him. Listen, the devil's a liar, isn't he? But that spitfire, that thing inside of you that says, oh, did he just say what I thought he said? Did he just talk about my God in the way that I thought I heard him talk about my God? I'm delivering lunch, but I now am taking this personal. And so David marched out there, and he heard Goliath blaspheming God. But all he had was trust. You ever feel fear of failure? I'll never forget when I first went to college. I had a teacher at Webster County High School who told me I would never make it in college. Tammy, it was the best gift I ever got in my life. It was. Just tell me I can't do something. Tell me I'm not good enough. Reject me. Listen, you give me a gift. And a lot of us don't realize that when the devil tries to put a label on you, he's trying to keep you from victory. And then the truth is, it's a gift from God, because your enemy will strengthen you if you'll rely on God and stick with God. Somebody say amen. I want to ask you something. Only God knows how many dreams have been killed at the altar of fear. But the one thing I've learned about living in victory, how many of you want to live in victory? I mean, you really want to live in victory. Well, it's the intolerance of your presence that actually creates your future. Hey, are you tired of being told no? Are you tired of being feel like that you're not good enough? Are you sick of living in a life that's just mediocre, with full of mediocrity? Are you tired of that yet? Until you get tired of it, you're never going to change anything. And so what happens is little David realizes what God said. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but he gave me a spirit of love, joy, peace, power, and a sound mind. Now let me tell you something, as I set up a series for 4 weeks. God absolutely has a stunning vision prepared for your life. There's not one person underneath the sound of my voice that God has not already preordained victory for. Not one. Not one. Question is, are you going to go get it? How do you overcome fear? Number one, it takes humility and deep roots. Samuel went to the sons of Jesse to find a king, and Jesse had several impressive-looking sons, and God didn't want any of them. He had his eyes on the little kid over here on the side that smelled like sheep dung. Do you realize that God only stitches greatness and new labels on the hearts of the humble? If you think you can do it on your own, you can't. If you think you can do it without God, you won't. If you think you can do it and you don't need God, you're not only a fool, you'll never succeed in life. But when you're humble, when there's humility in your life, tapinos in the Greek, you know what happens? God uses the humble. And so maybe you think you're going unnoticed right now, and your assignment is not what you want it to be. And maybe you're in the valley of the sheep right now. But the secret is, many people never get to slay a Goliath because they think that taking care of sheep is beneath them. And one of the things that I realize about greatness in God is that when you're faithful with the little things, God will trust you with the much. If you're faithful with the lion and the bear and you're faithful with watching sheep, when Goliath shows up in your life, you will slay him because he's preparing you with the mundane. And God always uses the mundane to prepare you for greatness. Those trials and tribulations and valleys you've been going through, you thought were for nothing. Let me tell you something. God never wastes a trial. Never. No matter what happens to you, God will turn it around for your good. You weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I told a guy in Myanmar this last week. Matter of fact, Robin that spoke here, his brother died tragically at a young age. And I wrote him a letter and said, Robin, I understand. I got the T-shirt. I've lived through it. I know what it is to have a brother die at 16. tragically. And here's what I've learned. And I just began to weep, and I wept as I wrote that letter to him. You want to know why? Because on March the 26th at 4:45, 1993, I never thought the sun would shine again. On that day, I never thought God would show back up ever again in my life. I thought my ministry was over. I thought I'd never be able to forgive God. I thought I was at a place where I would never trust him again. But I'm telling you, none of that happened. And what I found out is that if I'll trust him and obey him, he would lead me through every valley, and every Goliath would fall at my feet, as long as I did not give up and as long as I trusted the Lord, I was going to walk out a victor. None of that happened. And now I find myself preaching to people saying, oh, let me tell you, right now you don't think the sun is going to shine. Right now you don't think you're going to win this battle. Right now it looks like you are a loser. But if you'll trust God, he'll turn around and take that mess and make a message out of it. And he'll use it even though the enemy meant it for your harm. He'll use it to bless people with it. He'll use it to encourage people with it. He'll take your trial and the things that you're going through in life, and he'll use it in your life in incredible ways. Want to know why? Because there's greatness in you. Oh, Michael, you're talking to somebody else. No, I'm talking to you. There's greatness in you. Most of us have had the snot beat out of us by the world, and we've lost the ability to dream and live a limitless life. And you want to know what keeps us on the other side of the valley of Elah? Fear. Fear we're not good enough. Fear we're not good looking enough. Fear we're too skinny. Fear that he'll leave us too. Fear that we're never going to be able to be smart enough. Fear, 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 fear. And my Bible says God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Amen. Number two, you got to believe that God and his love are bigger than your giant. I mean, when you think about it, it was fear that caused the men of Israel to think that their enemy was bigger than their God. One of the things I've learned is you never can complain about what you permit. Let me give you some good advice that's not in the notes. Spiritually, always be definitive unless you absolutely cannot be definitive. Don't be afraid to say no. Don't apologize for saying yes. And never say maybe unless there's a real chance of maybe. Because what you will do is you'll create chaos for your life, and you will never, ever get rid of any issues because they're all still floating around because you told them maybe. You know, you can't complain about what you permit. But you hear me this morning. The God without limits is getting ready to propel you up a mountain. But you got to get in the camp. Number three, keys to overcoming fear is you got to expect opposition. 1 Samuel 17 and 28. Go there with me. 1 Samuel 17 and 28, it says, now Elab, his eldest brother, when he spoke to the men, and Elab's anger was kindled against David, is David's oldest brother, and he said, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness with? Let me give you some good advice. This isn't going to make you shout today, because it's plowing day. But every relationship you've got nurtures a strength or a weakness in you. Every relationship you have nurtures a strength or a weakness with you. I got a friend named Warren, who is John Hagee's former youth pastor. And now he pastors a church in San Antonio, Texas, and is doing work with the mayor's office. Matter of fact, we're using a lot of that model for the new Dream Center. Every time I'm around Warren, I'm strengthened. I want to live for God. I dream a bigger dream. But you know, I got this other friend, and every time I'm around them, I'm negative. Every time I'm around them, I don't believe I can do what God's called me to do. Every time I'm around them, I just want to quit. Eli was a coward. He was paralyzed by fear, because that's what cowards do. You know what a coward does? A coward attacks the courageous. You're going to have people in your life, when God gives you a dream and God gives you the sense that there's a possibility that you can live victoriously over what's trying to live victoriously over you. And every time you begin to hope, it'll knock you in the stomach and take your breath away, and it will try to detract from what God is speaking to your spirit. That you can have the health that you've always wanted, that your blood sugar can get to the point that it needs to be. I don't care what you're dreaming of, what you hope for, that secret desire in your life. God wants to do something so great in your life this fall that He actually gives you the spirit of living limitlessly. But to do that, you're going to have an opposition. And you know what? Isn't it funny that when you have opposition, it's usually people closest to you? Isn't it funny that it's family a lot of time that tells you you can't do that? What, Eli, have you got in your life right now convincing you that you can't do what you know God wants you to do? Because here's what you need to write down. Intolerance of your present is what creates your future. And you'll never possess what you're unwilling to pursue. And you always got to be careful, because a self-portrait that will determine, a self-portrait will determine the kind of enemy you're willing to confront. A self-portrait determines the kind of enemy you're willing to confront. A self-portrait will determine the kind of enemy you're willing to confront. A woman in Nashville walks up to me, and her husband had beat her to a pulp. She was black and blue, crying uncontrollably at the age of 50. She had lived with him for 30 years, and he beat her profusely over and over again. For 30 years she was beaten. I get her into an abused woman shelter. I help her to find out who she is in Christ Jesus. I prop her up. I encourage her. I tell her that she could live a limitless life. And 3 weeks later, she's back with her husband. There's a little girl at the second service of this church whose husband's in a county jail right now and getting ready to go to prison for a long time because he took his steel-toe boots and kicked her in the stomach and then stomped on her head trying to kill her. He used to sit in the pew you're sitting in right now. He beat her to where she looked like somebody had hit her with a baseball bat. Profusely, he tortured her with the intentions to kill her. But do you know where she is today? She's at the second service without that joker. She hobbled around for a couple of weeks with 4 children, 3 of which were his by another marriage. But you know what she did? She kept coming to church. You know what she did? She kept hoping it. She went and got a job at Hardee's and began to work 40, 50 hours a week. The van broke down, ran into a ditch. Everything that could happen bad happened to her. You know what she did? She got another van. You know what she did? She got another job. You know what she did? She said no and divorced that joker. What kind of enemy? That's why I give God a hand clap of praise, because here's my question for you. What kind of enemy are you willing to permit in your life? Because whatever enemy, that enemy may be rejection. That enemy may be the voice that says you're not good enough. It could be a dozen different. It could be fear. But whatever enemy that's in your life that you're listening to right now is a self-portrait. Whatever your self-portrait is going to determine what kind of enemy you're willing to confront. And if your self-portrait is that you're a nobody, you're just a woman, and that you don't have any power, then you're going to settle for somebody that beats you. But when your self-portrait is, I am a child of the living God, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world, and nothing by shall any means harm me. And David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, then that kind of self-portrait is going to live a limitless life. Somebody say amen. It's that self-portrait. Come on up, Jeremy, don't play. You know what we forgot? And I'm just laying a groundwork and plowing. Is the one thing that has absolutely amazed me about pastoring in Madisonville, pastoring in Nashville and Kansas City and working in ministry and in secular world, Chattanooga, is how the devil has caused people in this region to stop dreaming and to settle for the status quo. Just enough to get by. Did you know what David said to Saul? Don't let your heart fail you. David didn't care how big Goliath was. I want to ask you a question. Do you see the size of your God or the size of your enemy? And the more we focus on the limitlessness of our God, the smaller the devil looks. And Saul turns around and tells David, you're not able to go up against the Philistine to fight him because you're but a kid and he's been a man of war since he was a kid. So Saul was telling David, I already know who the champion is. Have you secretly kind of got that feeling that you already know who the champion is and it's not you? Have you secretly came to the place, now nobody ever wears a t-shirt that says I've given up, but if you secretly came to the place that says, my husband will never get off of prescription medication? Have you secretly came to the place that life isn't going to get any better? Have you secretly came to the place where God's word that he was going to do something in your life has now been rejected because you've been convinced that he can't do what he said he was going to do? Well, if you have, number four, remember God's faithfulness. Because David found his courage in the faithfulness in God's past, and that's why roots lead you to victory. David said, I protected a sheep, I beat up a lion, and I killed a bear. Now slow down for a moment in your life. Consider how God has been faithful to you in the past. Because God's faithfulness in the past will give you courage for tomorrow. Because you know what God wants to do? He wants to sow a new label on you. Not the ones that all of the people who never knew God knew. The one that says, I'm going to take care of this. When you live in fear, you limit the impact of God in your life. And fear isn't always the voice that says, be very, very afraid. Fear is the silent voice that says you're not good enough. They will tell you no. You're never going to make it. She's not going to get any better. You'll never get a raise. You've been through three marriages and this one isn't going to last either. Fear seldom shows up as fear. But you move from being fearful to courageous when you got the right armor on. And 1 Samuel 17 and 38 says Saul tried to dress David up in the wrong kind of armor. It didn't work. You want to know why? Because it was someone else's armor. But God took the tools of a limitless life, a staff, a slingshot, and some rocks, and he made a tailor-made suit for victory just for David. You know what Galatians says about you? You were baptized to union with Christ, and now you're clothed, so to speak, with the life of Christ himself. Number six, David knew he had loved because it's the depth of the love in the deepest pits of your life. I want to say it again, and I'm going to say it because until you get this, there'll be no victory in your life. I said it last week. I'm going to say it next week. When it comes to victory in your life, you will never conquer the giant that's trying to conquer you until you accept that God loves you with no strings attached. He doesn't love you based on your performance. He loves you only out of unconditional love. That is why there's a Trinitarian theology all throughout the Bible, where there's a Father, a Son, and the Holy Ghost. When there's only two people, someone loves naturally to be loved back. But when there's a third one, someone loves unconditionally, regardless of whether you love them or not. And when you get to the place in your walk with God, there's no firework, no shouting, no running, to where you can say, I accept fact that God loves me with no strings attached, then you got victory. And then number seven, the presence of an enemy in your life, it's a gift. It's a gift that the devil wants to defeat. Jeremy, go ahead. And so here's what I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you, is it possible that maybe you can begin to live in hope again? Is it possible, man, that's the Holy Ghost right there. Is it possible that you can begin to believe in the goodness of God again for you? Is it possible that you could come out of hiding and bring whatever fear you have to this altar and say to God, I will no more fear the fear of rejection, fear the fear of not being good enough, fear the fear of not being smart enough, fear the fear of the unknown, fear the fear of failure. Whatever's holding me back from hope, I just want to lay it down. And you know what I'm going to do today? I just want you to stand. You don't have to come down here. If that's you and you're wanting to lay something at the altar before God, close your eyes, lift your hand up to heaven, and stand on the count of three and say, God, this is it. One, two, three. This is it. This is it. Today is the day that the giant is slayed in my life. Today is that day. This is it. This is it. Today is that day. This is it. Now, Father, give them the courage that they need to be all that they can in Christ Jesus. Keep coming, because I'm going to teach you how to become a victor, not a victim. I'm going to teach you how to get out of the valley of Elah and live in the spoils of the Philistines. I'm going to teach you how to become more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. victory is headed your way. Amen. Now, every lady, will you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Every man, will you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Everybody lift your hands. Now, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look with favor upon you. And may he give you the peace of shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I want to challenge you to hope again. I'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.